Kovalo, the full moon and stars, the house lights in the valley, Inspiration Point, Highway 162, winding down to the valley, 10,000-year trail. A large oak and moonlight, across the motionless snow, the barren shadow. The quiet night air is broken by a sharp breeze. I continue to walk. The crunch by crunch beat, the memories of my father and the cold, deep earth. The breeze becomes wind. High on an old willow branch, a lone leaf flutters. Along the roadside, thorny, dormant, vines waiting for blackberry buds. Valley, moon, starlight. Willow, oak, blackberry roots, and the cold, deep earth. Small part of a thumb, an emptiness still within. I continue to walk. In the dark distance, light from a fireplace.
Welcome to the Youth Speak Out, a show by, for, and about young people. It airs on the first Sunday of each month from 3 to 4 p.m. and is hosted by young people in Mendocino County. We want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue of the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Jason Hanover,
Angelica Pete,
Yardi,
Noelia,
Lacey.
Today, our topics are community crisis and peer pressure. For nearly a month, forest fires have raged in the nearby Mendocino National Forest and adjacent lands. The smoke from the fires has affected everyone in the area, and a number of residents burned. Many people were evacuated from their land, and over 1,000 firefighters were brought into the area. Planes and helicopters have been flying back and forth across the valley for weeks. Fortunately, the fire should be fully contained by the time the show airs. The fire will not really be out until the rain comes, and that could easily be a month or two from now. We are going to discuss our experiences during the crisis and how a sparsely populated and isolated community deals with a natural disaster. Our second topic will be peer pressure. We hear the term all the time, and as teenagers we will discuss how it influences us, and the types of peer pressure, good and bad, and how teens and adults can protect themselves from negative peer pressure and find effective ways of creating positive peer pressure. Let's start by discussing the North Pass Forest Fire. Angelica, how has the fire affected you and your family?
It's affected my family because my brother, we couldn't, and my younger my sisters, we couldn't go outside really and play sports and like go to, because there is a baseball league, and we couldn't play because the firefighters and stuff had to stay at the Hidden Oaks, and we couldn't have the normal cold week, and it affected me because I didn't get to do what I usually like go outside or anything, and we just couldn't do anything because we couldn't breathe.
It affected me and my family because I couldn't go see any of them. I have a lot of family, and we like to play basketball and do things outside, and we couldn't go outside because the air was polluted.
It affected me and my family. By just the smoke, I guess, being outside, not being able to breathe properly, and my dad working outside, him going outside and having trouble breathing and not being able to function properly, and my siblings getting colds and stuff, and sore throats and stuffy noses. And with my mom, it really affected her because of her asthma. It was hard for her to breathe and stuff.
My sisters couldn't go to school because my mom thought it was unsafe to
to go to school and, like, go from their classroom to the lunchroom. And then like, my dad, he works outside. He's a construction guy. And he couldn't really go outside because he was getting sick. And I have slight asthma, and I like to play sports and stuff. And we couldn't really go outside and do any of that. And I'm sick still.
It's affected me and my family because, well, my grandpa was in the hospital because he couldn't breathe because he's old and he has lung problems already, and he had asthma also, and it just affected him because the smoke got down into his lungs and he couldn't breathe. It affected me because I couldn't do any of my outside chores, or I couldn't play do outside sports or play outside or anything. It made me feel scared and frustrated because we were all down here and couldn't do nothing, and all the firefighters were up there and fighting for their lives and fighting for our lives, and we just really couldn't do anything.
It made me feel sad because of what Jason said. We couldn't do anything for the firefighters, and the helicopter just kept going back and forth, and it was kind of scary, and it was just really sad. And that we might have to get evacuated and stuff. And
it made me sad because part of our valley was being destroyed, but it made me grateful for all the firefighters who were at the fire, like, containing it.
It made me feel sad just going outside and seeing all the smoke each morning, and knowing that, like what you already said, some of our valley is being destroyed or taken away from us, I guess. I don't know. And it just made me feel kind of lonely, sad, and, like, depressed because just of the way the valley looked.
It made me feel scared because I never seen the valley like this, and, like, I didn't know what to expect of what was gonna, like, come out of it and stuff. Like, yeah, I was just scared and stuff because, like, I thought we was gonna get evacuated and stuff, and, like, most people who didn't have money or anything for gas didn't really have a place to go, and, like, everybody here has, like, big families and stuff, so nobody could, like, catch a ride with anybody anywhere or anything. That's about it.
Fire when I was sitting in Ukiah one day, and that night about 3 o'clock in the morning, me and my aunt were sitting up, and all of a sudden we see a flash of lightning, and then we wake up in the morning, and then all of a sudden we hear that there's a big old fire up in Covelo and up on the hill. And then it just went on for days, and then it turned into, like, a couple weeks, and then it just kept getting bigger, and then the containment would, like, get higher, and then get lower, and then it would just go from 1,000 acres to 1,200 acres within hours.
The night before that, I was watching TV with my mom, and then we heard lightning and stuff, and then I had to go check on my rabbits because they were scared, and so was my dog. But my dog had to come inside because she's a scaredy cat. But, so then we woke up and stuff, and then there was a big fire, and then there wasn't really that much smoke until later on that day and the next day, and the helicopters weren't coming. It was just mostly fire trucks. That's how I found out there was a fire. Oh, on Facebook.
Oh, I didn't really, but my mom did. She said when she was sleeping, it was probably, like Jason said, like 2 or 3 in the morning. She said she heard sounds like gunshots, but it was the lightning. But she didn't pay no mind to it. But in the next morning, she got notice that the lightning had started a fire up in the mountains. And it kind of worried us because it was kind of close to some friends of ours, and so we were more concerned about how they are. It got pretty close to their house. It burnt a lot of our timber to where it's more or less unsafe to even walk through there now because of all the burnt limbs and stuff. I think it's very, hazardous too. But I think it would open up a new thing of it would open up a lot of jobs if they were allowed to log some of those logs that had fallen this time. But all our timber is burnt, so it kind of shortens the timber's lifespan.
For Alva Benson, and for those who have learned to speak. And the ground spoke when she was born. Her mother heard it. In Navajo, she answered, as she squatted down against the earth to give birth. It was now when it happened. Now giving birth to itself again and again, between the legs of women. Or maybe it was the Indian hospital in Gallup. The ground still spoke beneath mortar and concrete. She strained against the metal stirrups and they tied her hands down because she still spoke with them when they muffled her screams. But her body went on talking, and the child was born into their hands, and the child learned to speak both voices. She grew up talking in Navajo and English, and watched the earth around her shift and change. With the people in the towns and in the cities, learning not to hear the ground as it spun around beneath them. She learned to speak for the ground, the voice coming through her like roots that have long hungered for water. Her own daughter was born, as she had been, in either place or all places, so she could leap into the sound she had always heard, a voice like water. Like the gods weaving against sundown in a scarlet light. The child now hears names in her sleep. They change into other names and into others. It is the ground murmuring. And Mount St. Helens erupts as the harmonic motion of a child turning inside her mother's belly, waiting to be born to begin another time. And we go on, keep giving birth, and watch ourselves die over and over. And the ground spinning beneath us goes on talking.
The tribe had, like, I think it was a weekly meeting in the gym at the high school here. And they, all the tribal members would come, and then it's open to the public so that way they can announce, like, how the fire's doing and how many firefighter personnel we have or how many acres or if it was how it was going to burn or if they were going to let it burn. And like letting them know that they're just going to let it burn until the rain comes is where they talk about that.
I don't think it was very well advertised, like, for being such a big issue in Covelo, because my parents didn't know about it until, like, that day, you know. And I think on their part, they should have advertised it a little better so to make the community feel a little bit more comfortable about what's going on and how are they going to work towards fixing it, or, you know, because that was just my main issue towards that, because I think it was bothering a lot of people knowing that they're not really sure what's happening or what's going to go on.
When everybody started seeing all the firefighters coming in and they saw it just be more and more and more, I think it started to frighten them because they had to have that many firefighters and it had to have been a really huge fire. And then it also took up a lot of space, which, I mean, for a few people, it kind of was a problem because it was on tribal land. But, I mean, if they're going to go up in the hills and they're going to fight for your life, then this shouldn't be a problem.
We had a baseball tournament going on at the time, and they came and they, like, moved everyone out of the place, Hidden Oaks, and we had to continue our tournament on the school field, and it wasn't, like, prepared or anything. But, yeah, this is the same.
It's a good thing with the Indian days.
Like, for the community, I think it was a great thing because it helped local businesses out. It helped them, you know, boost and helped them, just helped their business, you know, because we had tons of firefighters. And I think it helped, you know, help I guess Koblo's economy or whatnot. I thought it was just that part, but it was kind of like a come in and make their way in. But they were helping us by putting out the fire and also helping our community.
I heard that they let the I don't know what it's called, Cal Fire here or whatever. They let them go, but I know that they didn't let the actual fire department in town next to Dan's. I know they didn't let them go, but I'm pretty sure that they let a few of the other firefighters go.
I know for me working in the store, we had numerous firefighters come in, and they were kind of they didn't really take I don't know. I guess they expected us to have, because a lot of them came in to buy, tobacco and stuff like that, and we were kind of shorted because we didn't really prepare for so many people buying tobacco. And so they kind of gave us a little bit of attitude because we didn't stock as much as they wanted, you know? So that was more or less my issue with them.
Or also with, with the firefighters coming in and them going and doing some of the shopping at Keys, that also cut down some for all the other families that needed to go shopping and stuff. Some of the other families needed to leave town and go do their shopping because the firefighters would come in and then they would have to go to Keys and then buy all their food.
They were really rude towards, the people who wanted to go up there and, just, take a couple of their belongings. They were, pushing them away, and they're and they were, accusing them of up there growing weed and stuff. And, I don't know, they're, racist towards them or not, you know, because, some of the stories they were saying, the way they were treating them was, almost, racial remarks towards them, you know, and it was, it wasn't cool at all. If I was up there, I told them all. I probably was too. But it wasn't cool, though, because, it really made me upset when I heard, someone I, I'm pretty close to, say that this, one of the firefighters or police officers that was up there blocking the road was being very rude and accusing them of, at their growing illegal stuff or whatnot.
I don't know anything anymore, or if that cricket is still singing in a country where crickets are banned. I'm Indian in a strange pastiche of herd and rain. Smells like curry and sweat from a sunset rock and roll restaurant. A familiar demon groaning with fear has stalked me here. Ruins poetry in his swollen pride. Commandeers beneath the moon, rocking above Los Angeles, or outside the stomp dance fire of memory. I told him, you can choose to hate me for going too far, or for being a nothing next to a pretty nothing like you. So long, goodbye, oh fearful one. My desires have turned to a small mountain of dirty clothes, sacks, gig bag, guitar, book, shoes, and grief that I packed and carried from one raw wound to another. I can't get betrayal out of my heart, out of my mind, in this hotel room where I'm packing for home. I've seen that same face whirring in the blur of a glass of wine after the crash dance, the goodbye song in the last world of fire and trash. The most dangerous demons spring from fire and a broken heart. Smell a bittersweet aftershave and the musk of a thousand angels. And then I let that thought go running away because I refuse to stay in bondage to an enemy who thinks he wants what I have. So long, goodbye. Oh, fearful one, my desires had turned to a small mountain of dirty clothes, sacks, gig bag, guitar, books, shoes, and grief that I packed and carried from one raw wound to another. my head parted through a curtain of truth and erupted from the spirit world to this gambling place. And I send prayers skyward on smoke. Sagaramasi, Sagaramasi, release this suffering. Let the pretty beast and all the world know peace. I refuse to sum it up anymore. It's not possible. I give it up to the battering of songs against the light, to the singing of the earnest cricket in the last world of fire and trash.
I think that if there was actually a national disaster and Highway 162 was closed, I think if it was, like, that big of a deal, they can go up over Ruth and then come out up in Humboldt County and then they shoot down this way if they needed to. If it was, like, that big of an emergency. Or if they had to, they could go up over Punkinny Road and then go out Laytonville.
If all the roads were closed to work.
I think that if people knew that there wasn't going to be that much food for a while, then I think they would probably cherish it. And, like, it would be, like, I think a lot of people would be going hunting and fishing and all that kind of stuff.
Acoma. For many distant travelers, the way to Acoma is merely Interstate 40. A four-lane sear of asphalt stitched in between wire fences and telephone lines, running like a scar across the flesh of an ancient landscape. They almost never know the old way south by north, where you can fly today from a uranium strip mine to the sacred sky city standing on top White Rock Mesa. Corn and rituals predate the Christian mission there, like a breathing shrine. And the way to Acoma, for many, is a place for curious pottery or a refreshment stop. But for those who still travel the four directions, the way to Acoma is always the way.
Peer pressure is other people in a group encouraging someone to do something like they're not supposed to be doing. Or there's good peer pressure too. It could be to get them to do something.
Somebody could be walking to town with a friend and then they could say, oh, you want to smoke a joint with me? And then they could say no, and then because it's not something that they do, and then they could be like, oh, well, it's an herb, it's grass. One. It's only one, you can do it. It's not going to hurt you if it's just one.
I have a lot of friends here that smoke weed and stuff, and they always try to get me to do it, but I say no because it's not good that if there's everyone doing it, it has to be like some kids that are still not going to get into that kind of stuff. And yeah, I get peer pressured every day to smoke, but I don't.
They try to comfort you and say it's a right thing to do. It's okay to do it. And it's not going to affect you. And they're going to be right there with you. And it's okay. Like, it's okay to do it. But
you're safe.
Cutting class is a big thing.
Bullying.
Knowing that some of your friends are cutting it. And they kind of... I guess they talk you into doing it, you know, oh, only one time, it's all right, just one time, you'll just do it, and you end up doing it, and then you end up getting in trouble, and you have to, you know, pay the price for doing it after they said it was going to be okay, you know.
If they're getting bullied, they can be peer pressured for doing something they don't want to do.
They can be bullied for the peer pressure. they could be bullied for the peer pressure because somebody could say, oh, well, you can come smoke a cigarette with me. And they say, no, oh, well, you're just a little wuss and get bullied for it.
Or teased.
Exactly. I don't think people pretty much get peer pressure for sex anymore. I think it's more of, oh, it's a cool thing, so we're going to do it anyway. That's how it is nowadays with some people.
It is peer pressure because everyone is doing it to have fun, so you feel like you want to do it and you have to be cool and like everyone else.
That's pretty.
Another good example of peer pressure could also be back to the cutting class thing with the person that could ask them to cut class. You can look at them and say, oh, you should stay in class and do your work or else you're going to fall behind and you're going to fail. It could be a good thing and it could be a bad thing.
We actually have a group, it's called Unity, it's for kind of for like Native Americans though, but it's still like to, they get us to fundraise, to get to travel out of state to meet other Native American kids around the like states, and kind of, it's just something to do over the summer instead of like being around drugs and alcohol and just everything.
We held a big time in May, and we used a lot of peer pressure to get more students involved, to be involved in it. And I always tried to elaborate on different things that we would do, like, you know, how fun it was to put, you know, this together. And I tried to, you know, peer pressure a lot of kids that I know would probably be interested in it to join and come and help us and put in their ideas and what they thought was going to be cool, so we could build on a better big so we could build our big time, I guess. I think that's what I try to do. I try to elaborate on different things that we did that was really fun and really hands-on, and I knew others would, you know, like to do it too.
Ho, hi, and a ho, hi, and a yo, hi, ho, ho. Ho, hi, and a ho, hi, and a yo, hi, ho, ho. Huggy the ho, hi, and a mighty, hey, more hurry. Huggy the ho, hi, and a mighty, hey, more shall we heal. Yo, hi, ho, ho. Ho, hi, and a ho, hi, and a yo, hi, ho, ho. Ho, hi, and a ho, hi, and a yo, hi, ho, ho. Huggy the ho, hi, and a mighty, more hurry. Huggy the ho, hi, and a mighty, hey, more shall we heal. Yo, hi, ho, ho. Ho, hi, henda, ho, hi, henda, yo, hi, ho, ho. Ho, hi, henda, ho, hi, henda, yo, hi, ho, ho. Ho, hi, henda, ho, hi, henda, yo, hi, ho, ho. Huggy the ho, hi, henda, mighty, he, mo, hurry. Huggy the ho, hi, henda, mighty, he, mo, shall we heal. Yo, hi, ho, ho. Ho, hi, henda, ho, hi, henda, yo, hi, ho, ho. Ho, hi, henda, ho, hi, henda, yo, hi, ho, ho. Ho, hi, henda, ho, hi, henda, yo, hi, ho, ho. Huggy the ho, hi, henda, mighty, hey, mo, hurry. Huggy the ho, hi, henda, mighty, hey, mo, shall we heal. Yo, hi, ho, ho. Ho, hi, henda, ho, hi, henda, yo, hi, ho, ho. Ho, hi, henda, ho, hi, henda, yo, hi, ho, ho. Ho, hi, henda, ho, hi, henda, yo, hi, ho, ho. Huggy the ho, hi, henda, mighty, hey, mo, hurry. Huggy the ho, hi, henda, mighty, hey, mo, shall we heal. Yo, hi, ho, ho. Ho, hi, henda, ho, hi, henda, yo, hi, ho, ho. Ho, hi, henda, ho, hi, henda, yo, hi, ho, ho. Ho, hi, henda, ho, hi, henda, yo, hi, ho, ho. Ho, hi, henda, ho, hi, henda, yo, hi, ho, ho. Huggy the ho, hi, henda, mighty, hey, mo, hurry. Huggy the ho, hi, henda, mighty, hey, mo, shall we heal. Ho, 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 ho.
We also have another school academic thing here at Round Valley. It's called the PLUS. It stands for Peer Leaders Uniting Students. And that's also kind of like a peer pressure thing because just the other day, a few of us students went on a trip out of town, stayed overnight. We went to the ropes course, and there was a lot of peer pressure in there because not only peer pressure kind of goes with encouraging, because you can be sitting on the zip line, getting ready to fall down, going down the rope, and your friends be sitting there, oh, you can do it, this is going to be fun, you should do it. And that's a lot of how a lot of people actually did it, is they had that encouragement and the pressure on that. Of them, oh yeah, we have faith in you, we believe you can do it, and you should do it. It also falls under peer pressure. When we first did it, we had a lot of peer pressure, because as Noelia was in the front of the line, we was doing a pad thing where you had to stand on each pad or you can't move. And if you lose contact with that pad, it goes away. You don't get it no more. And Noelia, I'm sure, had a lot of pressure on her because she was the leader. She had to make sure everybody stayed on a pad.
And they had to trust me that I would know what I'm doing, and trust me so that I could get. It was a peer, like a pressure, but it was like also a trust game as well, because the game was like, we have so many squares, and we have to make it to this distance using only those squares, and we have to keep in contact with those squares at all times. Our struggle was keeping in contact with the squares. And I guess we had I was under a lot of pressure because I was the first one, and I had to show, I had to grab the reins, and I had to lead them across that thing. And they encouraged me to take lead of that, and I did, and we made it through, and we all worked as a team, and we all encouraged each other. So I think, that's another positive peer pressure. I was kind of scared. I mean, it's a big step to go and climb up those ropes and, trust those ropes, And I think that's life. Sometimes you're on ropes, and sometimes you just gotta trust them. Some might break, and some might hold you, I mean, and I think that's life has a lot of ropes that you should trust.
Call it fear. There is this edge where shadows and bones of some of us walk backwards, talk backwards. There is this edge. Call it an ocean of fear of the dark, or name it with other songs. Under our ribs, our hearts are bloody stars. Shine on. Shine on, and horses in their galloping flight strike the curve of ribs' heartbeat and breathe back sharply. Breathe backwards. There is this edge within me. I saw it once, an August Sunday morning when the heat hadn't left this earth, and Good Luck sat sleeping next to me in the truck.
I'm from Oklahoma.
We had never broken through the edge of the singing at 4 a.m., we had only wanted to talk, to hear any other voice to stay alive with. And there was this edge. Not the drop of sandy rock cliff, bones of volcanic earth into Albuquerque. Not that. But a string of shadow horses kicking and pulling me out of my belly. Not into the Rio Grande, but into the music. Barely coming through, Sunday church singing from the radio. Battery worn down, but the voices talking backwards.
How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
Well, the very first ropes thing I did was I climbed up this net, and when I finally got to the top, another friend was climbing on the other one next to me, and it was where you had to climb all the way to the top and then get on a log. Well, I had to climb all the way to the top and get on a rope and walk my way across the rope. And it was kind of frightening because it was scary because she was more like a smaller woman than me. And so it's kind of scary knowing that a smaller woman is going to have to carry me. if I were to fall, she'd have to carry me and make sure I was safe and guided me down. And it was just frightening that, like, I probably would have just fell if I would have fell. And then I did another, the one that was next to me on the log. I got halfway across the log, and I started feeling like I didn't have enough support. So I had asked him to let me down because I wasn't feeling that I had enough support. And it's just really scary because all of my friends were pressuring me into going all the way across the log, but it's more of your decision on what you're going to do.
The most likely people that are being pressured into doing something they don't want to do is mostly teenagers.
People, young people get pressured into smoking and cutting class and drinking alcohol and taking things that they probably wouldn't most likely do.
Another thing is that I think it's when people get more pressured into things as if they've done that thing before. So they know that, like, say, if they were smoking or if they shoplifted, then they know that, and they got away with it, they think that, oh, yeah, we're going to go do it again, and we're not going to get caught again, so they know how to do it, so they're more pressured into it. It's easier for them to do it. Yeah, and also peer pressure could have to do with your self-esteem, because if you don't do what they're trying to pressure you into, they can look at you, oh, you're just a baby, you're a little weenie, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're not strong enough, and that just lowers your self-esteem a lot.
I think, too, it's kind of how you're raised, like, in your family, like, and knowing your punishment. Because, like, in my family, I know if I've ever done, you know, anything, you know, I do have really, you know, I do have punishments, you know? And that kind of what stops me from doing, like, I don't want to do bad stuff because I know what consequences I'm going to have, you know? So that makes me, you know, like, no, I'd rather, you know, do this, you know, because I know it's going to help me in the long run, you know. I just try to keep that, you know, as my little motto, I guess. Because I know what, you know, if I do it, I know it's, you know, I'm going to be in trouble, and I know it's going to make me feel worse because I know I disappointed my parents.
Because God made everybody set to make mistakes. It's not, everybody doesn't live their life based on exact measures. Everybody makes a mistake, and there's nothing, nobody's perfect. A lot of people can think other people are perfect, but nobody's perfect. Everybody has their little shell, but, like, everybody has their own life. Different things can happen in anybody's life. And now everybody just wants to be different. Nobody wants to be the same. Everybody wants to have their own life. Like, who wants to have the same car, the same clothes? Who wants to, same boundaries? Who wants to have all that? You don't want to be the same as everybody. One person could be not liked by this person that you really like, and then one person could like this person that you really like, and everybody doesn't want to be the same. Personally, I don't want to be like Yardi. I don't want to be like Noelia. I don't want to be like Lacey. I don't want to be like Angelica. I want to be who I am.
I don't want you to be like me either.
Because I want to be who I am. I'm mean, not them. Well, I think everybody, even back when, with our ancestors, I think they all wanted to be different. Nobody wants to be the same. Everybody wants to have their own look at each other.
There's me. There's the other me. There's another me. And then there are the more me's. We've all got a domino to play, so we've been trying to work it out. We don't know how your life turned or what all that means, but me and the me's, we're not going back. We've already seen what we couldn't do. Any skeletons in our closets, our own private stash of bones, that scream with no choice. There's no scream like the next scream,
no scream.
Reducing the present
like the
into nothing
scream.
While eternity is now, not then.
Who's divided
into what?
Into what?
And how many does that make? There's love that loves,
love that fears, love that possesses, love that needs proof. Where's the love that accepts, love that likes,
love
that cares? There's no forgetting some realities, destiny threw at us, and fate wasn't much help with its way of loading the load when we didn't have any say, and it was up to us to carry it. Fear like glue. Pretending isn't pretending. At least one of the me's have seen it all. Each and every one of us want the glory, but not a one of us likes the way we fall. Praying is a way of walking when staying isn't an option, because we've been accused of some things we did and some things we didn't do, and we heard I forgive yous that lie. Me and the me's are looking for a me that will answer to me. So far, there's no me who will.
My auntie, she started out, you know, a little bad, I guess. She was peer pressured into a lot of bad things, but as she grew older, she started to noticing how that was affecting her life in a negative way, and she kind of pressured herself into making her life better. So I guess my mom tries to pressure all of my siblings and I to do like she did, you know, pressure ourselves into doing better, you know, so we know someday it's going to help us, you know, doing this, you know, this, it's going to help us in the long run.
I think now it's just our tribe wants to do better and, like, be the best they can be more than...
And their hope might be outstanding and stuff.
Yeah. Raise the bar.
I think pretty much anybody that's going to do that comes into new command is going to try and be better. They want to show that they were elected to come into the new, be the new person to make a change. They want to make it better because they want to prove to people that they made a right choice in making them the leaders.
Teenagers peer pressure them to buy them alcohol. And most of the time they do it.
Adults can't blame us and say we're being bad when... they go out and drink all that. I know they're older and stuff, but still, they still end up buying alcohol for kids and stuff.
But I do know that there is adults out there that do buy these kids all this alcohol, and now they're actually letting their kids grow marijuana and do all this. So when the parents want to step up and say that the kids are not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and they're not doing good in school or whatever, they need to look to what they're doing also. They need to try and help make that change, because it's not only the students that are doing this, it's also the parents.
grandmother's land. Around the house stood an orchard of plum, apple, and pear, a black walnut tree, one white pine, groves of white oak, and willow clumps. The home of Jesse was largely redwood. Blood, flesh, and bone sprouted inside her womb of redwood for 5 generations. The trees now stand on pruned and wild. After spreading to the 4 directions, the seeds of Jesse have returned. Afternoon sunlight on the field, breezes moving grass and leaves, memories with family names wait within the earth, the mountains, the valley, the field, the trees.
Bullying is horrible and cruel, and nobody likes to be bullied. And I think a lot of that has to do with when people get bullied, they turn into bullies. They think it's okay. Like, they think that that's what you're supposed to do. You want to be like what they're supposed to do. The person that's bullying you is a better person. That's what they think. So they, you know, they try to be him. He could be bullying me, and I could be bullying some other little kids, because I think it's okay.
It's almost
can bully me, and he doesn't get in trouble for it, or he doesn't get seen. So I can go and bully somebody else and not be seen and not get in trouble for it. So it's okay.
It's almost like retaliation or something.
You're mad, so you go and take it out on somebody else.
There's different types of bullying, too. I don't like when there's, like, a group of kids against one person bullying on them. If it's, like, one person bullying another, I don't really care if they can do it, but when it's a lot of people bullying on one person, then I think it's wrong.
I think bullying in general is wrong. Sometimes police and sheriffs are bullies by abusing their powers. I think sometimes they take their power to the extreme, to where they think that they could do, you know, a little bit of whatever they want to do, like push people around and, you know, and yeah, and they're better than everyone. And I think a lot of them do say a lot of racial remarks to people, because I've heard of some, you know, and they abuse their power. I think they abuse their power. That's the part I hate about it, is because they don't think nothing of it while they're doing it. You know, they think it's like, it's okay to do that, you know, but in the long, I mean, like it's not okay. You know, they're hurting someone. They're really affecting someone in a negative, bad way. And I think I personally think cops should take a bullying course themselves, because that would help them understand. You know, I mean, like, it would help them understand what the people, like, what they're doing to the people that they're, you know, bullying.
And they're here to help and to make people feel safe. And with them bullying people, they're not feeling safe. They're feeling actually more neglected and feeling like they're feeling hurt. Being bullied, you're not feeling safe. You're feeling, you're not feeling safe. It's a horrible feeling. I think that when the soldiers and everybody started moving everybody out of their property and stuff, evacuating up on the hill and brought them back into Cove, I think when they were bullied and stuff, I think they came back in and were mad about that and started taking it out on somebody else. Exactly how you were bullied by somebody and then you bullied somebody and he's gonna bully somebody. It's like that. They just got angry about it, and now they're gonna go and bully somebody else, and the other person's gonna go and bully somebody else.
I think that's kind of like how, like, the family starting to, like, rebel against each other was because, you know, different things like that.
You just want to learn how to be stronger and take that as we were bullied to come here. And we look kind of weak because we just all got, we were kind of weak, and we have to build ourselves back up and to be a stronger community and stuff with the tribe and stuff, to be, like, just like, I don't know how to say it, but like, we have to kind of, yeah, tell people, like, white people, like, we want this to happen here, we want this to happen here, we want this, this is our land and stuff.
Take control back.
And we have to bully because, yeah, we were bullied that way, so we have to, like, get that back and do the same thing they did, even though it's not, I don't think it's the right way, but we still have to do it.
Probably because I think there's no other way to do it.
Yeah.
So they're doing what they did to us. something like that. I don't like with my dad, me and my dad freaking, he's like really, really rude and stuff, and then he, I don't know, I always thought that maybe, because a lot of people like my dad and a lot of people don't like me, I always thought maybe if I was like my dad and started being rude like he was, having always an angry face, maybe people start liking me, but I don't know, it's just, it's different. I just can't stand being like that. As I said, going back to two totally different people. I'd rather be myself and have people like me for who I am than having people like me for somebody I'm not. Like going, not cutting class and going to class. And when the people that are doing the bad stuff aren't going to class, cutting class. But other people can talk to you. Or, like also, I was kind of like peer pressured into being the treasurer of our student class. Everybody's saying, oh, it'd be good for you, it'll be kind of awesome. And I think it'll help with your self-esteem. It'll bring you up higher. You have the role of something. You help get it, make control of stuff. But,
and like you like walking to class and knowing someone who normally cuts or something, you know, just give them a little say, like, you know, you should go to class today. You know, maybe you might learn something new that you never did know or something like that. I guess would be
persuade.
Like a yeah, persuade and.
I think with the people that have the most problems, with the people that have the worst scenarios of, like, say, ditching school or drug habits, like peer pressure, I think it would be awesome if you put this because you can actually get into sports, you can actually get grades, you can actually go to college, you can show people what you are. You can make a change. And I think that's one, and that's where it should start, is with the people that are downgraded or that don't do or that are in unhealthy habits.
I notice there's a lot of, there's tons of peer pressure on TV, especially with, like, celebrities and stuff, peer pressuring, like, the world to, you know, do what they do and stuff, you know? So, like, I see a lot of, like, there's, for instance, there's this one commercial, it talks about, and it's a good peer pressure, it talks about, peer pressure. It talks about how we use so many bottles in, you know, a year, and we could wrap the bottles around the earth so many times, you know. It gets me thinking, you know, wow, that's, you know, that's a lot of bottles, you know. And it's like, you know, I try to, you know, I get pressured into like, yeah, maybe, you know, today I'm going to use a, you know, reusable bottle so I don't have to, you know, keep, you know, hurting our environment. And I think television can be a good and bad way to peer pressure people, to peer pressure our nation and our world. But sometimes I think, like TV personnel or whatnot, they abuse it. And, I think they should try to, put more positive peer pressure on instead of negative. But, and like they have the commercials with, about like people and, you know, about like, about bullying and how a girl, she was being bullied and stuff, and one day another kid, you know, said hi to her, and, you know, just like little commercials like that, I think, help bring positive peer pressure to our communities and our nation.
And also, peer pressuring, you could take something from somebody and twist it around and peer pressure somebody else into doing something.
I would like to thank Youth Speaks Out for giving us, the youth, the opportunity to express our feelings and emotions. That's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Your hosts today have been me, Noelia.
Jason.
Youth Speaks Out is produced in cooperation with the Safe Schools / Healthy Schools Bronco Project, building resiliency opportunities for the Northern County. For more information about the Bronco program, please call Pat Sanborn at 459-5314 or email at patsanborn@willetsunified.com. Please visit the Bronco website at sshsbronco.org. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162. Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find more information about the project. Get addresses for contacting us. Get a copy of our show and listen to many hours of previous programs in streaming audio. The views expressed on the program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are views of those who expressed them. Youth Speaks Out is usually aired on the first Sunday of each month. Our next show will be in 3 weeks on October 7th at 3 p.m. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in October.
Remember the sky you were born under. Know each of the stars' stories. Remember the moon, know who she is. Remember the sun's birth at dawn, that is the strongest point of time. Remember sundown and the giving away tonight. Remember your birth, how your mother struggled to give you form and breath. You are evidence of her life and her mother's and hers. Remember your father. He is your life also. Remember the earth whose skin you are, red earth, black earth, yellow earth, white earth, brown earth, we are earth. Remember the plants, trees, animal life, who all have their tribes, their families, their histories too. Talk to them. Listen to them. They are alive poems. Remember the wind, remember her voice, she knows the origin of this universe. Remember that you are all people, and all people are you. Remember, you are this universe, and this universe is you. Remember, all is in motion, is growing as you. Remember, language comes from this. Remember the dance that language is, that life is. Remember.